I love singing songs about America. You too? Amen. Thank you for being here. 4th of July. All right, have you got hot dogs and hamburgers and everything ready to go for this afternoon? Anybody? You ready? You going to have fun? Don't eat too much. I'm your association missionary for the Western Baptist Association. Just started my 14th year here. My sweet wife sitting right over there. Amen. Wave. That's her. Pray for her. I've already done this sermon once, so it's going to kind of be like the first sermon, but you know me, it's going to be different. I'm not Gerald Harris. I can't just preach like that, you know. I love Gerald. He's a real good friend of mine, and he even did a revival for us one time in Germany. So that's Gerald Harris. I love him. I am not Gerald Harris. And you will say, you're right. But we are glad to thank you. We thank the Lord for First Baptist Noonan. Wow, what a faithful supporter of the Western Baptist Association. You really have no idea what a crucial role you play in the strategic work of God's kingdom in Coweta County, which is the 49th fastest growing county in the United States. And it's growing. I'm going to think we're over 152,000 next census, if they ever tell us how much it is. It's growing. I don't have to tell you that. They're building everywhere. And we love living here in Noonan, Georgia. We didn't always live in Noonan, Georgia. We left, we came here from Germany, where we were missionaries for 25 years with the International Mission Board, Foreign Mission Board, International Mission Board, and we were your first missionaries in German language work. And we got over there in 82, the end of 82. And so we were there 6 years before the Berlin Wall fell, before the Iron Curtain came down. When I say the Berlin Wall and Iron Curtain, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's not everybody. That's not everybody. Some of y'all are just told me your age. But we actually got to live within about an hour of communism and were able to go across and be in communist countries a couple of times. Drove through in 84, drove on the transit roads. There were three transit roads from West Germany into Berlin, into West Berlin, and you had to go across East Germany to get there. Berlin, West Berlin was an island of capitalism in the sea of communism. And so you had to give up your passport, and they took pictures of it and gave it back. And then you drove from Hamburg. We drove down an autobahn, which is a highway, all the way to West Berlin. And you were not allowed to stop except at specific places, and you were not allowed to take any photos out the windows of your car. And they really meant it. It was interesting. Also went in 87, I took a train to Berlin, and I think I flew from Nuremberg, flew up there. I did a revival in a couple of revivals in Berlin, West Berlin. And so we were real close to communists. I told the first bunch I wanted to go into East Berlin, and because Berlin at that time was under the Four Powers Agreement. You had the United States military, the French, the English, and the British and the Russians, the Soviet Union, controlled Berlin. And so we were in the American sector. And after I preached a revival, I said, I want to go over into East Berlin. And we were allowed to do that because we were American citizens with a U.S. passport. You could go across. And you needed 25 West German marks to get across because you would have to change your West German money into East German money, which was not as much worth as West German money was. And after I did a revival there, a couple of boys took me to the Checkpoint Charlie. Anybody been to Checkpoint Charlie in Berlin? Look at there. How many of you have been to Berlin? Anybody been to Berlin? Okay. Yeah. It's changed a lot. And so I did get to go over and went through the checkpoint, and everything was going great. I was the only person in the checkpoint there, and I was on their side of the Berlin Wall. Yeah, they had the Berlin Wall open there. You could get through at Checkpoint Charlie. And so I was on their side. I was not in the West anymore. I was under the power and the control of atheistic, godless communism, which is why we don't want it here in America. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. We don't want it here. And I walked through, and, well, I told the early crowd, I was doing fine until I reached, when the guy said, "Entleeren Sie die Taschen bitte," which means empty your pockets. And I reached into the raincoat pocket of a raincoat that I'd put on, and there were Christian tracts that I had gotten out of the track rack in the church the night before, and I didn't have these. I was a German pastor in Regensburg, and so I didn't have any of these. I was going to order them when I got back home, and I had these Christian tracts in my pocket, and I pulled them out, laid them on the desk there, and he said, "Yeah, was this? What's that?" I said, "Well, they're Christian tracts." "Yeah, I'm a moment bitte." So I was held for 45 minutes in an interrogation room with the two-way mirror on the wall, just like in the movies, you know. I'm standing there, and I'm not going to tell you really what all happened, but I tell you what, they found out I didn't have any more tracks on me, and we're not going to go there. Finally, a major came back, and he put everything down. I mean, they had all my stuff. I had a camera bag. I opened up everything, all my pockets, everything. Well, everything, And he came back and he said, "Okay." And this major, a different guy, he said, he laid the tracks on the desk in front of me. He said, you can take these. But I ask you, you can take these? I was speaking German. I don't know why he spoke to me in English. I guess he's practicing. "You can take these, but do not hand them out in East Berlin." I said, "Okay, you can ask, you know." So, amen. I didn't, you know. I was not one of these Bible smugglers, you know, in there. You know, I was scared to death. I was like, "My mommy doesn't know where I am." You'll get like that if the communists take over. Anyway, so that was an interesting time. So that was the Iron Curtain. When we were in language school up in Lüneburg, just south of Hamburg, we were less than an hour away from the Iron Curtain, and we made the mistake of taking our kids over to see it one time. We wanted to go see the Iron Curtain, and then they couldn't sleep for 3 nights. Imagine that. We showed them Night Crossing, the old Walt Disney movie about Night Crossing, about these East Germans that made balloons out of rain material for raincoats and made a hot air balloon and got across the border. You ever want to stream that movie? Night Crossing. We showed that to our kids. Also a mistake. You know, they're scared to death. But you go over there, and there it is, the Iron Curtain, and every, you know, few ways, you got a tower with machine guns, that kind of stuff. They were keeping people in. They were keeping their people from getting out. It was a disaster. A disaster. I was also allowed later to do a church growth strategy study for the International Mission Board, a team. We went into Russia, it was Russia then, it was after the wall fell, after communism was over. And I went all over Eastern Russia and went all the way to Nizhny Novgorod on the Volga River. And you've never seen such poverty in your life. You've never seen such horrible poverty in your life. That was, you know, years after the opening. So, you know, I've experienced communism firsthand. In fact, in Regensburg, the church I pastored in down in Bavaria, in the pretty part of Germany, we had a former border guard who had served on the wall in Berlin. He was a guard on the Berlin Wall. He'd gotten out and came into our town, and we got in touch with him, found out who he was. Somebody invited him to church. And he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. And we baptized him. Isn't that pretty cool? You know? And can I tell you something? He had to go through a lot of prayer to get rid of the demons that were in him. Well, we've had an interesting life, haven't we? Amen? What's the title of the sermon today? It's in your bulletin. What is it? The Path to True Freedom. Real freedom. Okay? Well, when Lee called me, I said, he called me. I was at Michael's, and I got a text. I texted him back, called him. I said, "Are you really serious? You want me to come preach again? You know, I preached here before." I'm like, "You're asking me to come back? Wow, that's pretty good, huh?" And he says, "4th of July," and I went, "Wow, I don't think I've ever preached on the 4th of July." In fact, I asked the first crowd, do you know how many times that Sunday has fallen on the 4th of July since the country began? Anybody? 34 times. It's 4th of July, it's fallen on Sunday. When did the 4th of July become a national holiday? 1780. When did it become a paid? This is what you care about. When did it become a paid federal holiday? That's what we really care about. When did it become a paid federal holiday? 1941. Makes sense, doesn't it? 1941. 4th of July. For 25 years, we really didn't celebrate the 4th of July because Germans don't celebrate the 4th of July. It's so good to be back in America. It's so good to sing these songs. You know, if you sing them all, and you sing them a lot, and you, no, go, leave this country for 25 years and come back and then sing them. Try it. Try it. God bless America. All right, the path of true freedom. Well, Wayne, can you come preach for us on July the 4th? Sure. Okay, God, what do you want me to say? Where are we going to go in this? And so I look in verses, I look, you know, about freedom and being free, and I found this jewel in John chapter 8. It just kind of jumps out at you because it's embedded in a conversation, an ongoing conversation that Jesus is having with the Jews, with the scribes and the Pharisees. They were in charge of the place at that time. And so it's back and forth. It's a very heavy conversation that Jesus is having with the Jews, okay? So it's John chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, open to John chapter 8, and let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, now as we look into your word, Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to have ears that can hear and understand your word. And Lord, help us not only to be hearers of the word, but Lord, help us today to be doers of your word. That's what we want to be, is doers of your word. And if we do your word, if we actually do what you tell us to do, then we'll be free. And that's what we're going to see today from your word. And God, I thank you for your word. And we love you. And we thank you for First Baptist Church and that we can be here. We pray this in your precious holy name. Amen. Okay, well, John chapter 8 is a very interesting chapter. It's kind of hard to preach through it simply because it is this back and forth with the Jews. And it's a very heated discussion he's having with them. Probably one of the most heated discussions he ever has with them. And it's some pretty rough stuff in here. And so if you're not careful, you'll start reading John chapter 8, and then you'll kind of get clogged down. And you might miss this jewel that's embedded there. And this is very, very important. And this is the path to true freedom. John chapter 8 begins with the woman caught in adultery. And they're wanting to stone her. The Jews were ready to stone the woman caught in adultery. And I know you've heard that sermon a lot. You've been there a lot. And John 8, the chapter ends with the Jews wanting to stone Jesus because they're saying he's committing blasphemy. They actually listened to what he said. They actually understood what he was saying, that he was making himself equal with God. And they that's against the law, according to them. So in the beginning of John 8, there's this woman caught in adultery, and they really did it to try to catch Jesus. They wanted to know, are you going to stand with Moses' law? Or are you going to, you know, pull some stunt here? What are you going to say? They thought they had him. And you know, you've read, this woman's caught in adultery, and she's brought there, and they're going to stone her. And what does Jesus say to them? You remember what he said? What did he say? Remember, come on, you've been to Sunday school? You've been to Bible school? Hello? Or maybe you need to start going to Sunday school, amen? What did he say? He that is without sin, what should they do? Cast the first stone. And what did they do? Let me ask you something. Had they killed people before? Had they executed people before? Yes. What did they do this time, though? They all dropped rocks. Why? Because they had sin in their lives. He said, who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they judged themselves and they said, well, I'm not without sin. Well, if you read John chapter 8 in his discussion with the Jews, he's going to tell them later in this chapter, if you sin, you become a slave to sin. And he's talking about everybody. He's talking about humans. Can I clue you in on something? Did you know there's only one race on earth, and that is the human race? Can I just say that? Okay? Our country has a sin problem. That's the problem that our world has, is a sin problem. And that leads to all the other problems that we have. And Jesus says in John chapter 8, if you sin, when you commit a sin, you become a slave to sin. And the only one who can free you from being a slave to sin is Jesus. And that's also true of Christians. What? I thought when I got saved and baptized when I was 9 years old that I'm good to go. Well, yes, you're going to heaven, but you can also be a slave to sin. Okay? It's a great place to say amen. Amen. Well, that's not good, being a slave to sin. Listen, the only thing that can deal with sin is Jesus. The only person is the blood of Jesus. I teach this to my seminary class all the time. I have a seminary class at Western Baptist Association, Western Baptist Bible Institute. We have 2 semesters a year. And I say this just about every semester. The most powerful thing, one of the most powerful things in this world is sin. In fact, there's only 2 things that can deal with sin. One is death. Death will stop you from sinning. Okay? Death will stop you from sin. That's why Jesus said, if your hand sins, cut it off. You've finished sinning with that hand. Death will stop sin, and the blood of Jesus will take away sin. Sin can only be removed by the Son of God hanging on the cross and dying. That's what removes sin. So if that's the only thing that removes sin, there's nothing we can do that will remove sin from our life. Sin can only be removed from humans through the blood of Jesus. And you either acknowledge that, accept that, and plead the blood of Jesus for your forgiveness, or you will die in your sins. And he tells them that point blank in John 8. You're going to die in your sins. Look at the woman caught in adultery. Let's go back to her for a minute. In getting ready for this sermon, Lee, it's amazing. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 18 years old. I'm older than 18, amen? A little bit. And I saw it for the first time. When the woman is caught in adultery, and he says, and he says what he says, and they drop the stones and walk away. Jesus looks at her and he says, well, I don't condemn you either. And then he says something else. You can't stop there. What's the last thing that Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery? Do you remember? What does he tell her? Go and sin no more. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Adultery is against the law. It breaks the Ten Commandments. Don't. Is this still against the law in America? I just thought I'd ask. I mean, there's TV shows with it. There's movies with it where it's glorified. Excuse me? Are we really free in this country? Are we? Just trying to be honest here. How free are we? The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He controls the airways. Okay. It's a miracle of God that I'm even being allowed to preach here. The day might come where this is outlawed. You gotta wake up. Go and sin no more. Stop sinning. Stop committing adultery. Don't do this anymore. And it dawned on me, and I can't wait to ask Jesus one day, did you mean for her to stop sinning, even though you knew she's a sinner? We're all sinners saved by grace, right? Do we all have a problem with sin? Of course. Of course we do. But you'll never find it anywhere in the Bible that it says it's okay to sin. The thing that put Jesus on the cross, that's not okay to do. No sin at all. Maybe what Jesus is meaning here is, I'm not going to be here. I may not be here the next time to save you from these people if you keep on sinning. Stop sinning. It will cost you everything. It'll cost you your life. Sin will kill everything about you. Isn't it interesting how just a couple of words said in the wrong way can destroy a relationship? So that someone says, I'll never forgive you because of what you said to me. Look how powerful sin is. Go and sin no more. If you keep going in chapter 8 of John, I mean, in this discussion he's having with the Jews, wow. You know what he says to them? He says, your father's the devil. He calls him, he says, your father's the devil. You're of the devil. If you were of God, you'd believe in me, but because you don't believe in me, you're of the devil. And they're arguing with him back and forth. And they even say, they say a horrible slur against Jesus in John chapter 8. It's there. Oh, there were rumors. It's one of the ugliest things you'll ever read in Scripture, what they say to him. He says, devil's a father of lies. He's lying to you. He's lying to you, and you've been listening to his lies. Well, help. Oh, all right, well, show us, what is the jewel? What is this jewel embedded here? Look at John chapter 8, verse 31. Look what it says there. John chapter 8, verse 31. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him. All right, what's happening? Jesus is talking. And a lot of them are just totally denying and are so mad at him as they can't see straight. But there are some who are beginning to believe in him. They're starting to put their faith and their trust in him. And then he says these words, and this is the path to true freedom. This is something that you can claim and you can understand and you can start doing this, and it will absolutely change your life. And listen to me, it will save America. This will save America because it'll save you. It'll save you from you. I tell people all the time when we have the booth at the fair and we've got this box and they look in and I said, the most valuable thing at the fair is in this box. And oh, what's in there? What's in there? Somebody said, a funnel cake. I said, really? A funnel cake's the most valuable thing at the fair? Give me a break, you know. $1 million? I said, yeah, I wouldn't be at the fair. I'm just being honest here. You know, hey, this is me. And they can't understand. I open the box up and they look in and it's a mirror. And they see themselves. I love the reaction on women about 30, 40 years old. I love it. You know, they haven't thought they're valuable in years. And I say, you know something? Not only does Jesus save you from hell, he saves you from you. He saves you from you. That's one of these kind of verses. This is a save me from me verse. You know, don't ever forget that when in later in the scripture where it says Satan is walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's written to Christians. That's not written to lost people. That's written to Christians. Don't fall into Satan's trap of thinking, well, sin's not so bad. Sin put Jesus on the cross. Go and sin. Stop sinning. At least try. Well, I can't quit sinning. Well, can you try? All he wants you to do is try. And here's the path. Look at this. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, here it is. If you continue in my word, here's the path to true freedom. If you continue in my word. Now, does your Bible say continue? Does your Bible say continue? What does it say? Anybody say abide? Raise your hand if your Bible says abide. I like that better. I like that better. Why? Because the word abide is a word that comes, it's like this is where you live. Your abode is where you live. When was the last time you called your house your abode? Where are you going? I'm going to my abode. Hello. But I love the word abide. You know, can I abide here? Say that next time you get a hotel room. Can I abide here? You know? Yes, you may abide here. You know, whithersoever thou goest. You know, that kind of stuff. Don't you love? I love it. But abide's better. Why? Because it has with it, and this is what's important, the continuation. Keep doing it. Do it. It's an everyday thing. But also, this is where you live. Let this become a part of your daily life, just like the food that you eat. Let this become a part. And it's more than just saying a prayer. It's really, if you abide in my word. Listen to me. You're abiding in somebody's words. You may be abiding in the newscast at night that you watch. You may be abiding in what they say at work. You may be abiding in this, abiding in that. You know, it's so crucial of what's going on in the schools today. It's so crucial that we don't have our schools teaching communism and other lies of Satan. It's so important that that doesn't happen, okay? Because that's where the children start abiding. They start abiding in those words, and then they bring them home, and then, you know, and then a generation is gone. That's why it's so crucial that we're aware of what's being taught in our schools, of what's being said, even in church. It's so crucial that you know that you're, and he says, if you abide in my words. So ask yourself, in whose words am I abiding? Who am I listening to? Where am I getting my information from? Are you listening to Jesus? Do you know what Jesus said? Do you know what Jesus would say? When you abide in the words of Jesus and you use them every day and you think about them and you live in them, and then what happens is when something happens, when you're confronted with a situation, you respond like Jesus would. And we call that, look at the next thing, if you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, and that's present. I said in the earlier service, and I say this all the time, faith is present tense. It's always present tense. Yeah, you got saved when you were 9 years old, maybe like I did. But you got to abide in his word now. Salvation is present tense too. And then one day, of course, we'll be in heaven. That's great. But the juice is right there. Are you abiding in him daily? He says, if you do that, then you're truly my disciples. Wow, that's who we are. We're his disciples. And like Rick Warren wrote in his book, Purpose Driven Life, and life then doesn't really become about us. Yeah, wouldn't that be wonderful? But it can become more about us being followers of Jesus. And you'll be my disciples. You'll be my followers. You'll be learning from me. This sermon's going to be a little bit longer than the 8:30 service, obviously, because I've got more time and you don't have anywhere to go anyway. I'm sorry, you got a clock in here? What time is it? I got plenty of time. Wow, when do we start? Yeah, 5 minutes. Okay. All right, let's cut to the chase because I'm only like just beginning my sermon. All right, so have you got that? If you abide in me, another important point. That's not up to Jesus. You've got the Word of God. Abiding in his Word, that's our job, isn't it? Getting you to heaven is his job, amen? Saving you is his job. Being his disciple, that's your job. And if you don't abide in his Word, you are not his disciple. The only way you can be a disciple is to abide in his word. And I told the first group, I've read so many books on discipleship. I've even written stuff on discipleship. But the best books I've read so far on discipleship, and this is what we teach from the association when I go to another church, or I teach discipleship, I'll even go and teach it to the leadership of the churches, is the discipleship wheel. You really got to understand what this is if you're going to grow in Christ. It's a book by Jim Putman, Real Life Discipleship by Jim Putman, and then his other book, Church is a Team Sport. The association buys these books, used off of eBay, and we give these two books to every pastor, new pastor, who comes into our association. I say, here you go, the best things I've ever read. And it was from a Georgia Baptist Mission Board conference in Toccoa, where I got to meet Jim Putman, and I sat there, Lee, and listened to him. And they sent me the book. Georgia Baptist Convention sent me the book ahead of time. Did I read it before I went to the conference? No. I'm Wayne Jenkins. I write books. I don't read books. You know, I'm just being honest here. You don't want honesty, don't come to church. And so I went there and I sat there listening to Jim Putman. And he's not even a Baptist. Can you believe that? And I listened to him and I started crying. I said, this will start the car. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so I stayed up all night and read his book. And that conference right there changed my life. Changed my life. We know how to make disciples now. And it's only possible by getting people in a group where they kind of do life together. You know, it's accountability. And they study God's word and they ask very simple questions like, what's this Bible? What's this passage tell you about God? What's this passage tell you about people? What are you going to do with it? And let the people talk. This is the way we're doing it now. Okay, and this is the way, this is really all we want to do to try to help turn this thing around. And we can turn it around. We've got the potential of just the Southern Baptists in this area. We've got the largest socially connected group in our area. We're 20,000 people, Southern Baptists, the Western Baptist Association. Started in 1828. Amen. I was not there when it got started, but amen, it was great. Somebody says, were you there? I said, be quiet. You only grow in Christ if you stay in His Word. And then you're His disciples. And look what He says then. If you stay in His Word, if you continue in His Word, if you understand Jesus, if you listen to what He's saying, then you will know the truth. You'll know the truth. The truth about what? The truth about everything. The truth about everything that matters. The truth about God. The truth about God. I share this with my seminary class all the time. Do you know what God cares most about? You know what the will of God is? You know what God's goal is? Do you know what drives God in answering every prayer? This is going to help you, right? God's main goal, more important than anything else, is to save humans. He wants as many human beings to be saved as possible. And He's using His church to do this. But God, that's His goal. And listen to me, God will sacrifice anything for that goal. The church in communist China is growing faster than the church in the United States. Hear me carefully. God will sacrifice anything to reach as many humans as humanly possible. As possible. Because it's us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're His body. He will always sacrifice the outside for the inside. This really came home when she had her liver transplant 3 years ago. Praise God, she's a miracle sitting there. She almost died. But God used that for His kingdom. This is serious discipleship. This is deep following Jesus, okay? This is the real stuff. When you see a hospital as a mission field rather than a place where you get better. And you realize God sent you in to share the gospel with people. For His glory. For His glory. How much of our life is for His glory? All of it if you let it. And this will even help you to not cuss the people out as you drive down Bullsboro. Amen? When a person cuts you off, you know, were they going too slow? Can I say something to all you people in Noonan? Would you drive faster, please? Get off your phones. I thought getting on your phone was against the law. Why don't we jail these people that use their cell phones, okay? Not me, but all the others, right? And you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth about God, about salvation, about sin, the danger and the power of sin, about life, about death, about heaven, hell, about people, about the relationships. You'll learn about relationships. You'll learn how to salvage relationships, how to heal relationships. Jesus can do it, and Jesus alone. You'll learn about life, death, everything, love, emotions, will, purpose, forgiveness. Truth, the truth of Jesus will lead you to wisdom. And wisdom is knowing what to do with what you've got. And not destroying yourself. One of the most important things, one of the greatest truths that God, that Jesus will teach you, if you abide in His Word and listen, is His unconditional love for you, for me. That He loves you no matter what. You must believe this. If you study Jesus, you will believe this. That His first effort towards you is love. He wants you to know how much He loves you, about how much God loves you. He saved us while we were yet sinners. He loves us. We're made in His image. He loves every single one of us. And when you understand and when you believe and when you really make this your own truth, the truth of Jesus becomes the truth in your heart. When you know that you are unconditionally loved by God, no matter what, you'll be surprised how many of your spiritual problems are going to clean up. Because that point right there, I'm convinced that's the source of most of our spiritual problems, is that we just don't know that we're loved. It'll help you love yourself. It'll help you forgive yourself. You'll know the truth about everything. You won't be tossed back and forth by every news or every election. You'll just be a follower of Jesus. You'll know the truth, and here it is. Here's your 4th of July message. And the truth, His truth, will set you free. Free, really free. Not dependent on the situation free, but really free. Free from what? Free from doubt. Free from worry. Free from despair. Free from depression. She can tell you. I struggle with depression. Do you know Martin Luther? It made me feel okay when I saw the Luther film. It says, I wake up every morning sometimes so depressed I can't even get out of bed. Martin Luther. Only Jesus can save me. Loneliness? Free. Regret? Regret? He will free you from the past. He's the only one who can. You won't do it, but He will. Hopelessness? Meaninglessness? Jesus wants us to live truly free. Free to love people, even though they just beat the fire out of you. Paul and Silas in Philippi, one of my favorite texts. You know, if anybody ever says, can you come preach at our church? We just carried the preacher to the hospital and it's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Can you be there by 11? I don't have a wonderful job, Eric. Isn't this a great job? You know, hey, our preacher got sick. Can you come preach for us? Sure. If I'm not preaching, I'm going. Amen. And I'll preach Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi with their backs laid open. They've been beaten for doing good. And it's in the dark there. So what do they do at midnight? They don't call their lawyer. I'd be like, I want my lawyer. This is horrible. I'd be whining and crying. What did they do? They sang praises to God. And out of the darkness, that jailer heard them and said, I want what you've got. Can I tell you something? That's what we have to do. If we get to that point, the United States, your friends, your neighbors, this whole country, this whole world will say, I want what you've got. What you've got is better than anything else because you're free. You're really free. You're not tied up in the circumstances. We will always adjust. We'll always adjust. I got to be in St. Petersburg, Russia, when they 5 years after the fall of communism in Russia and the Soviet Union, got to be there in the service where one by one they stood up and shared where they had Bible studies, hidden Bible studies in the city. We may be forced to do that. We can learn from the Christians in Russia how to deal with a communist government. I'm just being honest. And they stood up and they said, oh yeah, we had a Bible study in our house. And the lady, are you serious? You live in the street right behind us. And you had a Bible study in your house all these years? Mm-hmm. They called them birthday parties. Man, everybody had birthday parties all the time. Because it was against the law to study the Bible. Now you could have a worship service and it would last 3 hours. Because that's where they did Bible study, was in worship service. They went underground for years. But you know what the great thing is about Christians and about Baptists? Are we perfect? No, but I love us. You know what the best thing is about Baptists? Oh, we may fight and fuss, you know. But we're like cockroaches. We're like cockroaches. You got to kill every last one of us. Because we'll come back, baby. Amen? Because we got the Word of God. You better start memorizing it. Because you can burn this Bible and all you got to do on the internet is just turn it off. And it's not allowed anymore. I'm going to end with this. I got to preach the first revival in East Germany right after the wall fell, right after the Iron Curtain opened. And we already had a relationship with the German Baptist Church in Rudolstadt, Germany. It's in Thuringen, gorgeous place in Germany. It's right there near where they did that Night Crossing movie. It's just above the little village of Pusneck. And in fact, so I went there and I preached a revival a whole week. And I was the very first American who had ever been in the town. And so the school systems that were having to turn over because Germany had been reunified in 1990. And so they invited me to come to the schools. And I came and I talked to the directors and the teachers and all the schools. They rolled out the red carpet. Come, let's talk. You're a special guest in our town. And I took some New Testaments. I had a stack of them. And I gave out these beautiful New Testaments in German and gave them to all the teachers and everything, you know. And one night this teacher came, and I'd given her New Testament. She came, she said, "I want to thank you for giving me this New Testament. I've never had a copy of God's Word of any of it." I said, "Well, let's talk." She said, I was a communist. I am a communist. She said, "I was proud of being a communist. I thought I was morally superior to everybody else." Sound familiar? "I thought I was morally superior to everybody else." She said, "And we used to go down to this beautiful little hill, this pasture, where we could sit and we could have a picnic, all the teachers here in our school, and we would look over to the west and think about how horrible and how horrible it was over there and everything, and how we were free, how we were the right, we were doing what was right. It was great what we were doing." She said, "And then the wall fell and the Iron Curtain opened." She says, "We quit having the picnics." She said, I found that we had been deceiving ourselves. Everybody was just like the people in the West. She said, "And my whole world crumbled around me. And I didn't like myself anymore. Because I'm just like what I used to condemn." I said, "Well, can I pray with you? That you'll find the freedom in Jesus that he wants you to find?" Let me tell you something. The path to true freedom is continue in his word daily. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with God's word. Read God's word. Get to know Jesus. Become a disciple of Jesus. A disciple means a follower. It means a learner of Jesus. Do that. You can do it. You have to do it. Nobody can do it for you. And what will happen is you'll start understanding the truth, and you'll be able to figure this thing out. And God will give you a spiritual insight into what's really going on. And then you'll be able to realize that sharing Jesus is the very best thing you can do for God's plan of saving every human on this planet. And you'll be free. You'll be free in a way that nobody can ever take away from you. And even if you die for being a Christian, you're free. You're free. Happy 4th of July. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for this word. If you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth. The real truth, your truth, God's truth about me, about this world, about people, about everything, about love and relationships. I'll know the truth. We'll know the truth. And that truth will set us free. And then we really will be the land of the free and the home of the brave. God bless America. God bless First Baptist Noonan. God bless those people now that might come as a result of the invitation and say, "You know, I just want to pray. I'll pray with you." It doesn't matter what. You may want to accept Christ as your Savior. You may want to say, "I want to be baptized and follow Jesus. I'm going to start continuing in his word." You may just want to come and kneel in the altar and pray. But what a beautiful opportunity. What a freedom we have to do this. Take this opportunity. This free opportunity to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He will never, ever cast you out. He will always accept you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.